Good to be here once again and love the fellowship of the saints. Our hearts are greatly encouraged as we come. Hold all of the different meetings up in prayer. We need that. I don't see how it can be much longer. I'm surprised we got this far into this year. I thought the Lord would have come by now. But everything is in God's hands, and all things consist or are held together by Him. God knows what He's doing. In Exodus 33, and reading from verse 13. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not hither hence. For herein shall it be known here that I am thy people, have found grace in thy sight, is it not? And that thou goest with us, so shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are on the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Blessed Savior, we're grateful for your presence this morning. God, we're deeply grateful for the love and the grace of God that has been bestowed upon each one of us. We ask, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will guide and direct in all that's said and done. Open our hearts to receive what you have for us. Give wisdom in breaking forth the bread of life. In your sweet name we ask, and amen. We are encouraged to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I love the statement, great grace. We need that. We need the great grace of God. God said, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. In other words, God is saying, it's my grace. I challenge you to tell me what to do with it. And I think of the words of Job, thou hast granted me life and favor. When you accepted Christ, we have life, but not only have life, we have life and that more abundantly in Christ Jesus. I want to look at the marvelous work of the grace of God. I'm just touching a little bit this morning. I think of all the sacrifices that are mentioned in the book of Leviticus, the burnt offering, peace offering, trespass offering, what have you. All the animals that were used had to be completely without blemish. This pointed to Christ that knew no sin. All the blood that was spilt and used points to Calvary, our blessed Lord and Savior. Here was the man, the God-man, that the word says that he was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. He came, first of all, to do the will of the Father that sent him. Thank God for his obedience. I think as he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, as he looked at Calvary approaching, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, this God-man was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. There had to be something that would take care of the sin question. That was the death of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I'm glad that we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. I love grace, but I don't understand the depth of it. I have to sit up sometimes like the Apostle Paul and admit that I am what I am by the grace of God. When I think of this marvelous grace that works in our life, I'm glad for a God that looked down upon my life and gave me the first thing I needed, forgiveness for my sins. We are taught in Scripture that we are to forgive others even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven us. Marvelous that he could look at a sin-sick human being on its way to hell and offer the sweet grace of God that works in our life. Marvelous grace. I thought of the young man sang that song last night, "Oh, how I love him. Oh, how I love him." Grace in this life, you take there at Calvary's cross, he could look at one of the thieves that were hanging there. "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise," giving a dying man one last chance. His name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's a marvelous work of grace. Oh, we may have ill feelings, bitterness, anger, hate, what have you in our lives. Until that is taken care of and gotten out of the way, it's like cancer that will eat you alive. You have it this morning? Get it out of the way. I'm glad for grace that will teach us to reign in life. One of these days, now the Lord came, first of all, as a babe in a manger. The next time you see him, he's going to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We have problems in this life, in our personal lives and what have you. We know that sin hath reigned unto death, but I'm glad for grace that reigns through righteousness unto eternal life in Christ Jesus. Yes, the devil is alive. You don't have to say much about that. Give him credit for that. But listen, there's one that's seated at the right hand of God. He's alive and well. I'm glad that God, through his grace, teaches us to reign in life by one Christ Jesus. Appreciated the brother's message last night. Down, but not defeated. We get back up. This grace teaches us, and it does. Grace of God will teach you. I'm glad I'm saved by grace, but there's much more than just being saved by grace. That's just the starting point. That grace will teach us to reign in life by Christ Jesus. Paul said, "If I suffer with him, I'm going to reign with him. But if I deny him, he's going to deny me." That is not, he doesn't deny salvation. That's not the subject of the verse. The subject is reigning. If I don't permit God to rule and reign in my life, I'm going to miss out on one of the greatest opportunities ever presented to the human race. Ruling and reigning with him. I've been asked a number of times, "Well, Brother Hines, why don't you just have a little bit of fun and come with us, some of my school friends?" If I had listened to them, I would have been missed out on everything that God had for my life. I want to reign in life by one Christ Jesus. I believe that this grace message will separate. It does. It separates you from what the world has to offer, and it separates you unto Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Sometimes the grace of God, this grace message, it will even separate you from many of your best loved ones and family members. I had a daughter tell me one time, it broke my heart. She said, "Well, Daddy, I don't believe what you preach anymore. I said, Anita, that's all right. You go your way, but truth is truth. Come back to what God has taught you. There's a separation going on, but say, listen, if we want to reign with Christ, go all the way with him. Go all the way with him. Be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife hath made herself ready. That little word made that is used there in the Greek, it says that she yields. She yields to him. She takes in the word of God. She grows in grace and in the knowledge of our blessed Lord and Savior. She begins to grow up into him, into all things grace will teach us. But if you expect to reign in eternity, you're going to have to let God reign in your life here. This is a dressing room for what he has for you. When that time comes, and I believe that it's just around the corner, I want to hear him say, David, well done, thou good and faithful servant. We've had loved ones. Oh, I could tell you a brother that very bitter towards the things of God, but God beginning to soften his heart. He began to appreciate what my wife believes in and talks about. Yes, sister, all things are possible with God. I'm glad for him this morning. Moses said, well, God, give me your presence. Be here. If you're not going to go with me, don't take me any farther. Show me thy glory. Show me thy grace. I want to see more of you. God will teach us sometimes we may be taken into the valley of hard knocks. There came a time in my life, one time that I was willing to. Well, God brought me to a breaking point. I was willing to lay it aside and said, God, if you can't do this that I'm asking, I don't want to preach it anymore. Within 15 minutes, God spared my wife. I almost lost her. Say, what God permits us to go through is not to defeat us. We learn to trust in him for all things. We all face these bitterness and trials in our life. They're there. You can't get around them. But it's God that works in us and through us, and saints, he which hath begun that good work will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Thank God for the day that seed was dropped in my heart. My name was in the Lamb's Book of Life, and God began to take me step by step as I called out to him like Moses, show me your grace. Show me your love. Show me your compassion. Oh, how this is needed many times, especially amongst the saints of God, the love and compassion and tenderness for each other. Thank God for who he is. He gave me life, and he gave me life more abundantly. I want to enjoy all that he has for me. The word tells us that we can draw water from the wells of salvation. Begin to drink from the water of the wells of salvation and see what God has in store for you. We have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I've been made to sit together in heavenly places with him. I've been accepted in him. I've been sealed by the Holy Spirit on his. God spoke to my heart one day and said, oh, David, listen, don't you know that you're not your own? You belong to me. I'm his this morning. As we call out to him, he's so faithful. But this grace that God has to offer helps us to reign. It will teach us that as we yield to him. But this grace has given me a hope that passes the knowledge of man. Paul said that we have an earnest consolation, a good hope through grace. a good hope through grace. God will teach you what that hope is, Saint. Listen, it's not anything you have in this life. Your hope is in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Thank God for that. Paul said, according to my earnest expectation and my hope. What is your expectation and hope this morning? My expectation is to be in the bride of Christ, and I realize God himself is the only one that's going to make that decision. My hope that the trumpet would sound today and I would be changed in a moment, in the twinkling, hallelujah, in the twinkling of an eye, and go home to be with Christ today. This is my hope this morning. I'm not looking forward to the election or what have you. I'm looking for Jesus to come at any moment. Say, listen, it's nigh at hand. We need to wake up, say, listen, Jesus Christ is just about ready to appear on the scene. My hope is in him. This world hasn't given me any hope. Nothing to look forward to. You wake up every morning, it's still there. There's still trials, the testing, what have you. But listen, one of these days, the Lord himself is going to descend with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ are going to rise first. Man told me here just recently, he said, well, Pastor Hines, listen, I don't believe the Lord's going to come while I'm still living. Bye. I feel sorry for you. Jesus might come today. That's my expectation. That's my hope this morning. Jesus might come today. Are you looking for him? It says that you may be home sitting around the table. You may be driving around town. You may be talking on the phone to somebody. And just like that, you're gone. Are you ready for it? Say, listen, God's not going to come. Say, oh, are you ready? Are you ready? Listen, he's going to come in the twinkling of an eye. He's going to come when we least expect it. Be ready for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man will come. The grace of God has embedded a hope in my life that no one else can give to me. That hope is in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. My thank God for what we have in him. There in John 14, I believe it is, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He said, in my heart are many mansions. If it were not told, I would have told you. But he said, if I go away, I will come again and receive you and to myself, that where I am, there you might be also. Think of the life of Abishag. Draw me and we will run after thee. That God, in his love and mercy and compassion, is trying to draw people close to him. I wonder how many times that we grieve the heart of God by not responding to his love and compassion. The word tells us that Israel was destroyed because of lack of knowledge. Many times you and I can be destroyed spiritually because of lack of knowledge of him and what he has for us in the Word of God. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. I think it's the words of Job, acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. How do you know him this morning? He's the love of my life. He's my Savior. He's my refuge. He's my hiding place. He's my healer. Hallelujah! He's my comfort and joy this morning. Jesus Christ, our Lord, acquaint yourself. Well, how do you know him this morning? I know him as Savior, but how else do you know him? Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn of me. He's there with open arms waiting for his people to come to him. I told a brother last night that I valued his lesson because it meant something to me personally. Being knocked down two or three times in the last month or so. And this grace that we have in Christ, it's a grace that's all sufficient. A grace that's all sufficient. Paul said that There was a messenger of Satan to buffet him, lest he be exalted above measure. There was a thorn in the flesh that was given to him. You know that story. There's not new to you this morning, but he prayed three times that it might depart from him. Oh, how many of us get back in our little corner and weep and beg and pray for God, well, take this away, take this away, take this away. I can't stand the pain anymore. But Paul said, oh, listen, these are just light afflictions. It's working you a greater eternal weight of glory. All that you go through, they're light affliction, but God has something of far greater measure and value when you see him face to face. Paul, why are you praying that I take this away from you? Don't you understand I'm God? My grace is sufficient for every need that you're going to face in this life. Hallelujah! My grace is sufficient for thee this morning. Oh, say, listen, every need we have, financial needs, physical needs, spiritual needs, whatever they are, Jesus Christ is there to meet those needs for us. I feel like David. I've been young and I'm old and have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Oh, God has never left me. He's never forsaken me. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Grace, 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 grace of God this morning. That grace will teach us as we go on with him. That grace is sufficient for all the needs that we may have. Very present help in the time of need. Sometimes we feel like, God, well, I'm about ready to go under. Oh, I feel sorry for you, young man. You still don't understand. My grace is still sufficient. My grace is still sufficient. My wife and I were pastoring in another town one time, and all we had left in the icebox was just a bottle of milk for a little boy, David Lee, that was quite little. Well, I said, what are we going to do? Well, we give the milk to him. He needs it. Nothing in the icebox. She went out to the mailbox the next morning, and there was an envelope addressed to my wife and I, no return address, and nothing in it but a wadded up piece of paper, and you opened the piece of paper, there was a $50 bill. Say, listen, God never forsakes his own. God never forsakes his own. Just when you think you're going to go under, God said, oh, listen, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here. My grace is sufficient for your need. Turn your life, your kids, your children over to Christ. Give them to him. Say, listen, this life is just about over with. I was watching an article, and I wish we had more young people here. This is in our country and several other places, teenage kids being prepared to fight ISIS and try to take over our country. Teenage kids in our country. We call ourselves a Christian nation. There's a place up in Missouri. There's another place in Kansas. Back in the woods, one place the FBI had robbed the place and raided the place and gone in, and it's the same kind of people, submachine guns, hand grenades, everything that they could think of, had one thing in mind, take down our nation. I love the place where I'm living. I love this country. But I'll tell you, Saint, we have a sin-sick nation that needs Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. There's only one thing that's going to change that. That's Christ himself. I'm glad for the grace of God that teaches me to reign. It gives me a hope. It supplies my needs. And this grace that God has manifested towards you and I don't understand the depth of it. But I love it. I love it because of who it represents, my blessed Lord and Savior. That word grace just simply is unmerited favor. God gave you something you didn't deserve. God gave you something you didn't deserve. And oh, listen, I can look up, telling somebody here before we left, lift up your head and rejoice. God made you a son of God. He made you an heir. He made you an heir of God. I can be a joint heir with him, if so be that I learn to suffer with him. We ought to be a shouting and rejoicing people. And pray more in our church at home. God just releases that we just come in and just open our mouths and do nothing but praise Jesus Christ and worship him. We need that. He inhabits our praises. He desires that we come into his presence with praise and thanksgiving upon our hearts and worship him for who he is this morning. The blessed Holy Son of God. Saying, listen, I was nothing. He made me a son of God. I had nothing. He made me rich in him. It's because of the grace of God that was bestowed upon our lives. Grace, grace, marvelous grace. Oh, the sweet grace of God. This grace that took hold of my life gave me an opportunity. There in Revelation was read already that God will, there's an open door, and sometimes it's an open door of opportunity. God will give you one chance in this life. Well, maybe more than one chance, but God will give you one, a chance. I keep saying one because maybe the trumpet's going to sound and you won't have a second chance. Maybe that's what I'm trying to say. But God gives you a chance. Paul mentioned in Hebrews that run with patience this race that is placed before you, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher, the originator of our faith. Run with patience the race that is placed before you. There in Hebrews 2:10, the word said that he's bringing many sons into glory. Many sons into glory. We don't like to look back, but I think when we had our dedication service, our first Sunday after that, the city kept telling us we couldn't have services, and I said, this is what you think. Because the head man down at Leavenworth didn't come and give him permission to go in, and so we bypassed him and had the Sunday morning services anyway, and we had about 10 people that came up and accepted Christ as personal Savior. God's gracious. He's gracious. We've seen others that have accepted Christ. But as he's bringing many sons into glory, what does he want? He's chipping at your life. I think Brother, a long time ago, God said, when they shall be mine on that day when I make up my jewels. God is making up jewels one day that will rule and reign with him. We were in Israel one time and watched the individual bring in a big chunk of, looked like just a dirty piece of rock. Nothing to it. They took a saw and cut it down the middle and begin to chip away on the outside covering of it. And on the inside was one of the most beautiful diamonds that you could ever look at when he chipped all the dirt and the crud away from it. A beautiful diamond sitting there. We saw the Hope Diamond one time. Expensive, beautiful. And Saint, listen, this is nothing compared to what Jesus Christ is trying to do in your life. It's nothing compared to what he has to offer you if you will just take it. He's bringing many sons into glory, and I think there in the Old Testament, you know that he's the potter, we're the clay, and God is molding and making in your life that which pleases him. And God made this statement, well, don't you know you belong to me? I can do what I want to with you. And he continues to mold and chip away in your life. The least little thing that will displease God, God in his grace is trying to rip it out of your heart and your life. My dad told me years ago, God will never take anything away from you with what he don't place it with more of himself. And he does. He does. But oh, Daddy, but oh, son. But Daddy, you're not listening. Son, you're not listening. You go on with Christ, he's going to work in your life in ways that you almost unbearable. God, why are you taking me down this pathway? God, what are you doing to me? I can't stand this anymore. Well, God said, well, I've got you just where I have you, where I want you. When you feel like you're just going under and there's no hope, listen, you're going to see what I'm doing in your life. And oh, so when we look back, I can say, oh, God, I rejoice in you. This is what you did for me down through the years. You never left me. You never forsook me. And I'm one of your jewels this morning. One of these days, by your grace, I'm going to reign and rule with you. One of these days, by your grace, I'm going to look up and see you coming personally. But say, listen, he's coming after me personally. Oh, the grace of God that passeth understanding. I love the grace of God. I love the mercy of God. I love the love of God. It all says it comes from the fact that God so loved the world that he gave. God gave the best that he had to offer. His blessed son. Paul said, I press towards the mark. That outcalling, the prize, winning Christ as the bridegroom of our soul. He's still there. He's still there. I want to come like Paul. I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, or because of this, there's a crown of righteousness laid up for me. I'm glad I'm at the age where I am because I realize maybe momentarily I'm going to look up and there he is. I'm ready to go. I feel like John of old, amen, even so come quickly, Lord Jesus. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. And he molds us, he shapes us. Sometimes he'll look at it and sees a little bit of scar and a little bit of blemish, and he puts us in the fire again. Puts us right back in the fire. He says, well, listen, I'm not through with you yet. My, when that man over in Israel got finished with that little piece of rock, oh, the jewel that you could see that was on the inside. Saying, listen, it's not what's here. It's what's on the inside. It's what's on the inside. God, through his grace, has given me one of the greatest opportunities in this life, running to receive Christ as the bridegroom of my soul. What kind of price are we willing to pay? It's not going to cost us anything spiritually or financially, what have you, but personally, what kind of price are you willing to pay to go on with Jesus Christ and have his best? Oh, Mom and Daddy, you don't want to do this. No. Got a brother that's been saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, and I don't know what happened, and he don't tell me all the story. But to this day, he will never darken a church door. I said, Danny, listen. You're giving up the best that God has to offer you. Let God pour you the way he wants. You're on a race course. Don't sit down and quit. Get into the house of God and let godly pastors and teachers work in your life through the ministering of the word of God. Well, David, I can't do that. Well, Danny, listen. When the trumpet sounds, don't look for me. When that trumpet sounds, and I believe it's going to be a secret appearing. Somebody told me one time, well, the trumpet's going to be so loud the whole world's going to hear it. I don't believe that. It's going to be a secret appearing. God's just going to go suddenly knock on the door, and those that he has decided are going to be in the bride of Christ is just suddenly going to disappear and go home to be with him. Grace. grace of God teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust and live righteously, soberly, godly in this present world. But then he went on to say, looking for and hasting unto the coming of our blessed Lord and Savior. You looking for him this morning? Always make statements like that all the time. You know, you may be on your way home and never make it. We don't know. My wife and I, when we started out, we didn't get 15 minutes away from the house and saw a big accident on the highway which we were going. I don't know why our plane was 3 hours late when trying to get here, but maybe there was something wrong with the plane. I don't know. You leave that in God's hands. But I'm glad God goes one step ahead of me. He fights all of my battles. He protects me. He watches over me. He feeds me. He cares for me. What else could you ask for? I have him and want nothing else. I have him. You love him this morning? Oh, when we see many around us that perhaps are falling sound asleep. Listen, it's not just in the Grace churches, it's worldwide. People are getting a lackadaisical attitude and no longer have the, I'm going to say lust, but the desire to be in the house of God and hear godly ministers expound God's precious word. Many are falling along the wayside. Paul said, it's high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. Look at us this morning. I'm not as young as I used to be, but I'm closer home. I'm closer home. Love him this morning. Amen. Feel like Moses. God, I want your presence to go with me. I want to know you by name. God said, Moses, I already know you by name. Your presence is already here. Show me thy glory. And I don't believe anybody that's living today could look on the full glory of God and exist. We just couldn't do it. Saint, the word tells us that he's going to come. It doth not yet appear what we should be like, but we know. When he shall appear, we're going to be like him. We're going to see him as he is. All sickness gone. Sorrow done away with. Sin done away with. Loneliness done away with. My, you could go on and on. I don't know what it's going to be like to have a glorified body, but I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to that. I can imagine there in Revelation, the word said that billions upon billions upon billions that are his are going to cry out to him, thou art worthy to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. Somebody said, well, what are you going to do when you get there? I don't have the slightest idea. I don't have the slightest idea. But my heart's desire when I close my eyes, the first thing I want to see is Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. God, you did all of this for me. You did all of this for me. In eternity past, you were the propitiation, or he was the atoning victim for our sins. God, you did this for me. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves me. That love that passeth understanding. I value the love of God. I would take nothing. This is my life, my hope. From Genesis to Revelation, it's all Jesus, 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 Jesus. When it's all done, it's still going to be Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Well, you got a song to sing. Value the grace of God that's been extended to you.